I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Earth Day. It's also the fifth Sunday of Easter. I'd like to share with you a prayer for this day. Creative Presence, our God, we would be, with your help, wiser than we are. We would observe always what we glimpse occasionally, the wisdom incarnate in all living things, the harmonies, the dissonances within cosmic symphony, the moving, breathing world of creatures alive and living around us is full of astonishing feats of intelligence, wonderful patterns and structures of cells and organs that speak continually of your limitless divine life and confidence in us. Confidence we will find the way toward living perceptively. Guide us on the way of faith and wisdom. Amen. I want to thank Fred for getting the sound system again, and Douglas for reading earlier, which I didn't thank you for. This is Earth Day, a day in which, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and we have the commandment from Jesus that we should love one another, that we have to start thinking in our sense of love in a wider way. We have to start thinking about inclusive love. That's the challenge. Let's go back in time to when Jesus was here on earth and ministering, and Peter in the book of Acts had this revelation that the church was not just for Jews, but was for all. That those who were seen as outcasts were now in. All people of the world. Because anybody who was not Jewish was considered to be a Gentile. But the vision of Jesus and the vision of Peter, which the church accepted, though I know grudgingly at first, was that we have to count everything and everybody as in. We have to bring to life the psalm that we read this morning about all things praising the Lord. Trees, hills, waters, brooks, fish, animals. That God cares and is created and is all in all in all things. That's a whole paradigm shift for us living in 2016. Because we have learned and we've inherited in our culture a sense that we are to use everything that's around us as opposed to living with everything that is around us. But if we don't start living with everything that's around us and including a sensitivity for everything that is living around us, and we continue just to act selfishly, burn our hydrocarbons, and plunder the earth, and consume at the rate that we are consuming, by the year 2050, which is in the lifetime of at least our grandchildren, if not some of our children, it's possibly even in our lifetime, we're getting to live longer, we won't have a world that is capable of sustaining life. There may be some bands of the world where people can live, but not many. We're seeing right now what's going on in Ethiopia, where there's great starvation. We have seen bridges built over sand where there used to be rivers. It's drying up. And we know that people are on the move. Animals are dying. People are dying. And global warming, temperature change, climate change, whatever way you want to phrase it, is already starting to have its effect. We are in the midst of something huge, and that we did it ourselves. to ourselves. It wasn't God's intention. There are unfortunately some people, the book of Revelation reading that we read this morning, there are some people understanding that is, come on, let's burn up the earth and that'll cause Jesus to come back again more quickly, and that God will save us because we're faithful and everybody else will perish. It's sort of that ark syndrome, you know, where the ark, Noah's ark, and God saved a few people on the ark and then everybody else died. Let's do it again kind of idea. That's nuts. It's nuts. So we have to speak against that kind of thinking, and we are called in a ministry to be inclusive and loving, and to be sensitive and caring. Not just loving ourselves and loving those who we easily love, our families, immediate neighbors, people we know, but to be reaching out in a new vision. I've often said that the Enlightenment was one of the worst things that happened. The Enlightenment was a time in the 1700s where we started to accept science, and that's a good thing. I'm a scientist. But at the same time as that happened, the church itself forgot its own roots and forgot that the scripture was metaphorical, which is meaning that it speaks to something, but it doesn't speak to it in a literal way. It speaks to it in a philosophical, spiritual way. And the church threw in the towel. And they said, well, if science is so wonderful and everybody is looking at science, we better tell people that the scripture is literally true. If the scripture is literally true, we've turned it into a recipe book, a cookbook. And it's all literal. No idea of metaphor, no idea of historical truths being there. And that killed the spirit of the scripture, and it opened the door for people to take the statements like I just made about liking that the world should come to an end in the book of Revelation because God's going to come back and rescue the faithful. That's just so far from the truth. But because of it, we have a difficult time in hearing people speak to the need of being sensitive about how we use the environment. We need to give support to not only the government as it tries to speak to climate change, but force them more to be more active. According to a person who works with Erica, my wife, at Trinity Western University, he's done a lot of work on climate change, and he is a born-again Christian, that if we go at this rate we're going right now, the world will be uninhabitable by the year 2080. That's pretty scary. 2080 is not that far away. We have to now start working. We have to now start appealing to politicians at all, because they have the power, at all levels. We have to talk in our own small ways about the reality of climate change and the impact of what it will do. And well, it's going to be a hardship because I don't like doing changes and doing with less and doing things in new ways. I think that it's a truth that cannot be denied. That unless we act positively soon, we are going to kill our island home called Earth. So on this Earth Day, on this Sunday, where Jesus has called us to love, I invite us today, again, to love the planet Earth, to love our island home, and to love all the inhabitants of our island home. You know, we see these wars raging around us and people making great statements and doing outrageous things. but the climate will affect us all. We all breathe the same air. So today, as we receive the sacrament to which we are all involved and invited, I invite you to recommit to the challenge of love, which is God's covenant with us, that Jesus calls us to love all people, and we are called to love ourselves and the world in which we live, and to take it in a respectable, strong, it's everybody else but me, start to understand that we're all involved. None of us will be exempt. And there will be no great coming down to save the world. We have to move forward because God gave us intelligence, and God wants us to use our intelligence within ourselves and with each other. And we must move forward as thoughtful people who follow Jesus. May God bless us all in this journey. Amen.